we're talking about today is that Jesus fasted. Throughout this year, we're looking at various things that Jesus did or the ways that he treated his emotions or the ways that he acted. And today we're talking about Jesus fasted. For those of you who follow what is sometimes called the church calendar, you would know that we are in the season of Lent. If you're following the Maastricht calendar, you would know we're in the time that comes after Carnival and before Easter. That's roughly called the time of Lent. It's supposed to be this 40 days in between where it's become a church tradition. It's not something we're told we have to do in the Bible. It's not discouraged either, but a time of 40 days where we do some sort of fasting. So what is fasting? And what does that look like? And why do we do it? And why did Jesus do it? Well, again, just some family history. You guys get to know some things about me, my family, my extended family. Part of my family grew up in the Catholic stream of church, and so they would definitely practice Lent. My immediate family, we didn't. So when we would go visit our cousins and they were going through Lent, they explained some of this to me. And I felt really bad for them because they were my age. And they were like, oh, we had to come up with something that we're going to fast during Lent. So several of them were girls. Most often, they were fasting chocolate during Lent. During these 40 days, they do not eat any chocolate. I was like, wow, why would you do that? As they got older, I think their parents said, you can do more than chocolate. So they would fast just desserts. No sweets, no sugary things for 40 days. I was like, wow, that's kind of tough. If I remember correctly, one year, she decided to go out on a limb, and instead of fasting food, my female cousin decided that she would fast listening to boy bands. Today, that would be something like One Direction. Back in that time, it was New Kids on the Block. How many of you know who New Kids on the Block were? Wow, yeah. How many of you wanted to fast them the rest of your life? So people sometimes fast things other than just food. I've known guys who say, I'm going to fast video games. I'm going to fast watching television. And so I'm going to spend this time to focus on God instead of that. I was talking with a lady one time, and I had totally not thought of this. And I realized I'm talking with a woman. She said, I went on a makeup fast for a while because I just didn't wear any makeup. And for her, it was a very important thing. And I don't want to make fun of it in that way. But my guy brain just said, wow, that's such a girl thing to do. I have never considered I'm going to fast makeup. But it's not necessarily a bad idea for some people. I can appreciate it. As a quick definition of fasting is just denying yourself a certain appropriate thing for a certain time to focus on God is kind of what we're going to look at. And the reason why I say a certain appropriate thing is that stuff that we would typically categorize as a sin, you don't really fast that. You should stop doing it. So when I've heard people like, oh, I'm going to fast pornography, or I'm going to fast getting drunk for a while, or I'm going to fast having sex outside of marriage, we say, well, the idea of a fast is that you fast it, and then you can eventually go back to it. It's not a bad thing. Some of those other things we say, you fast it, you really shouldn't go back to it. So those are not the things I'm including in fasting, but the things that can be very appropriate, like food. It's not wrong to eat food, but you take time to deny yourself from food so that you can focus on God. And food is, in the Bible, the one that we see as the most common, that people are fasting food. There are various types of fasts while we're in it. There's what's called an absolute fast. That means you have nothing go inside of your mouth. No food, no liquid, no nothing. Especially if you're going to try that type of a fast, either God needs to supernaturally be upon you for that to go for a long time, or you only do it for a short period, like 3 days or less, because your body just doesn't work well if you don't have food or liquid. There are some of the times in the Bible where we see that, where people had no food, no water, no nothing. A second type of fast is typically called like a liquid fast, and that means you do drink water, but you don't drink food. You do not eat food either. There's no type of food that comes in. I've known people who also adjust in that, where it's like, okay, I'll have water and juice, or I'll have water and tea, things like that. Some people make fruit smoothies, and you go, is that cheating or not? I've known some people who are like, well, I just have water and coffee. But there's that, where there's no food, but you are having some form of liquid, and those you can typically do longer. Other forms of fasts are where there's just specific foods where you cut out. This isn't specifically a diet, but it's sort of that idea often is, oh, you only eat vegetables for a certain time, or vegetables and fruit, or vegetable fruits and nuts. Typically, I've never heard anyone who said, I'm doing a fast that's only beef and nothing else. if you're fasting and you're eating meat, it just seems strange to me. So the idea is not we're going to go on a diet with this, but it's specifically denying yourself something for a period of time. That can be for one day, that can be for one meal, that can be for 40 days or something else. So with that, quickly, let's look at the fact that Jesus did it, because we're looking through what Jesus did. So in Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, we're told that Jesus returned from the Jordan. Now, we looked at the Jordan last week, was Jesus had just been baptized. He had gone into the water, he had been baptized. As he came out of the water and he was praying, then we're told that the Holy Spirit came down upon him, that there was this voice of God speaking. It was probably what they would call at that time a bat call, an echo voice. But that God spoke and said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." So right after that, Jesus, full of the Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the desert, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And all that time, he ate nothing, so that he was hungry when it was over. How many of you, 40 days, no eating, you're probably going to be hungry? I expect I would. I haven't done 40 days, but you would get hungry. In the book of Matthew, it says something similar. It doesn't say he was tempted during the 40 days, just after. But the idea is that Jesus ate nothing. Most scholars that I've looked up during this week say that they expected that Jesus was doing what we call a liquid fast. So he wasn't eating, but he was drinking something during this time. And in Matthew 4, we're told, similarly, for 40 days, 40 nights, he ate nothing, became very hungry. Satan tempted him to get food by changing stones into loaves of bread. So Jesus hasn't been eating. Why would he do that? What's the purpose of Jesus not eating food? Good question. I think part of what we're going to see as we look at what were the temptations shows why Jesus was doing it. Satan said, "Hey, change these stones into loaves of bread. It will prove you are the Son of God." But Jesus told him, "No. For the scriptures tell us that bread won't feed men's souls. Obedience to every word of God is what we need." Other versions say, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that God speaks. Throughout the Bible, there are various reasons that we see people fasting. And one of those does have to do with people who are repenting. They're saying, "God, I've done something wrong and I'm fasting." I think too often, that's what I grew up thinking fasting was all about. Was, I've done something wrong, I'm a bad person, I'm going to fast as some kind of way of making it up to God, as a way of making him happy with me. That's not what we see in Jesus. Remember, Jesus has just been baptized, and God said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." Jesus didn't go fast so that he could please God, in a way of, God's not pleased with me, and if I just fast long enough, if I just do something, if I just deny myself this, then I'll make God happy with me now. No. Jesus was being obedient and pleased God in that way. But it wasn't that he was trying to earn this pleasure with God that he didn't have before. It wasn't that he was trying to earn his identity either. Because that's part of what Satan is tempting Jesus with. He says, you know what? If you do this, you'll prove who you are. You'll prove that you're the Son of God. And Jesus said, I don't have to prove anything. That's not what I'm here to do. That's not what I'm doing this for. So people who fast so that they can just prove something, I don't think they're really doing it right. And I've seen a whole lot of very spiritual people who they tell you about how much they're fasting or how many hours they spent in prayer or how they did some of this stuff. And it's not specifically wrong to do those things, but if you're doing it just to prove who you are, that's not the way Jesus was doing it. Jesus wasn't out to confirm his own identity. He already knew who he was. He did it from a sense of security. And that's something that I think I'm learning as I get older, is that I want to live my life, I want to do my actions, and if I fast, I want to fast out of security in who I am in God, not out of some kind of insecurity of what I need to get or what I can earn by doing it. With Jesus, I would say the two things in this of why Jesus was doing it was preparation and power, not power in a bad way, but in Luke 4, verse 17, we're told after Jesus has gone through his fasting and tempted, he comes back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he starts his ministry. Jesus starts healing people and casting out demons, and we see him doing all of this. But Jesus wanted to make sure that he spent some time in preparation. He wanted to spend some time getting ready for the next 3 years of his life, which was going to be jam-packed with people. He knew that once he was done with that, he was going to become the center of attention of a lot of people. And there are thousands that are thronging to him. He's trying to find time alone to pray to his Father. And people keep asking him for things. And Jesus wanted to spend some time before all of that to say, I want to be prepared. I want to have my mind, my heart, myself centered toward God, that I want to give him my attention. And maybe for some of you, this will be a part of it, where you look into your life and go, there are big things that are going to come up in my life pretty soon. And you would choose to fast as a way of preparation for that. Maybe you're going to be graduating. And you know, after I graduate, I'm going to get a job and I'm going to go into something new. And as a way of saying, God, I'm going to give you my focus and I want you to prepare me, that you would choose to fast. Maybe you're going to get married or something like that. And you say, I want to spend some time ahead of it preparing, because I know that once this changes in my life, I may not have as much time to give toward God. And that Jesus apparently became empowered through the Holy Spirit in this process. Now, Jesus, we're told, was full of the Spirit before, but then he came back in the power of the Spirit. And so it's not that the Holy Spirit changed on him, but that as he spent some time fasting, that allowed God's work to strengthen in him instead of him strengthening himself. So normally, if I feel weak, I want to eat some food. That way I can build up my own power. But this was Jesus spending time saying, God, I want my strength to come from you. I read a quote by a man named Dallas Willard that he said, you know, if we take note of and follow Jesus and what he did when he was not ministering and teaching, we'll find ourselves led and enabled to behave as he did when he was on the spot, when Jesus was in front of the crowd. A lot of the people want to be able to, oh, I'd love to just lay my hands on people and they get healed automatically. I would love to just speak the word and cast demons out. I would love to always have the perfect response to these people who are trying to attack me, just like Jesus did. And so many times we focus on that instead of focus on the preparation that Jesus took. And if we would focus ourselves on preparing ourselves first, then maybe we would find that we are able to better walk in that same power as Jesus did at that time. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus does say that we probably will end up fasting. Some people came up to him and they said to him, you know what, John's disciples frequently fast and say prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but your disciples eat and drink. So people walk up to Jesus and say, you know what, your people aren't fasting enough. John's disciples, they're fasting. The Pharisees, they're all fasting. Why aren't you guys? Why aren't you spiritual enough? And I hope that today, as we talk about fasting, you realize my first goal is not to say, why aren't you spiritual enough? Why aren't you doing this? I wonder if some of them were asking because they were considering switching over to Jesus because Jesus was easier. John's disciples fast. The Pharisees fast. Can I just become one of yours? Then I don't have to fast. This is great. This is awesome. But I think most likely this came from a more self-righteous attitude. People saying, well, they're fasting. Your guys aren't fasting. Why aren't you doing this? What makes you think you're so good? And Jesus does respond. Can you force wedding guests to fast while the groom is still with them? The time will come when the groom will be taken away. He's speaking of himself. It says, at that time, they will fast. So we do see that Jesus was expecting that there would be a time where people would be fasting, and that would be after he went away. The word I would give with this is longing. How many of you have ever felt lovesick? You're so excited about this person that you're just not hungry. You just don't think about it because you're so in love. Anyone ever? A few? Thank you, thank you. You married people? Raise your hand. It'll do good for you. There's this longing, and Jesus says, I'm here on earth with them right now, but I'm going to leave. I'm going to be gone. And in that time, they will fast because the groom is away from them. There's this longing. There's this waiting. There's an expectation. When I thought of this, I went, what would be a good example of some kind of good romantic quote, some kind of classical thing where we have an example of this? So in classic literature, classic bad love story that came to mind is Romeo and Juliet, right? So I start searching for quotes from Romeo and Juliet that have this idea of, I'm so in love that I just can't eat. And actually, it kind of scared me, because when I start searching for this, instead, I'm seeing all these things where people are asking, like, how can I make a meal like Romeo and Juliet's wedding? I want to serve that to my friends. And part of me is thinking, if you're the girl invited to this meal, don't drink whatever they give you. Stay as far away from that as possible. Whatever they were eating, I don't want it. So, honestly, I sought around. I couldn't find really anything good, so I gave up on the idea of it. But just as a note, don't make Romeo and Juliet meals for people, because that's asking for an awkward ending. Let's put it that way. But there is a love sickness that we have. At the same time, there's just, say it this way, that there's being sick and there's being lovesick, and both of them can take away your appetite. This week, maybe you can hear my throat isn't quite as strong as it was, and I wouldn't say that I was all out sick, but I wasn't feeling as good as usual, and I wasn't as hungry. It was just a natural thing of it. That happens a lot, and honestly, I think a reason why in the West we don't fast as much as I hear people fasting in other regions is because we think that everything is going okay, and we get so comfortable that we don't keep in our mind that this world still has sickness involved in it, that there are things that are not right, that there is stuff that still has to change. Other books I've read on fasting are from people from South Korea, or a guy who was Indian background, grew up Hindu, lived in Africa, and he has this big book about fasting. And I've seen all these various types where these people are really involved in fasting, and it seems like Westerners, we just don't get it. And the strange thing is, we're the ones who have all the food to be able to fast from. But instead we think, well, I should just be eating this instead. That we get so comfortable instead of seeing that the world is still a sick place in many ways. And that would draw us to fasting as well. This longing for things to be put right. This longing for what has been injustice to be turned to justice. And we go, there's things more important to me than food right now. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek God's face in the middle of this. So there's a longing, both in I would say, sort of a sickness and a love sickness, that both of them draw us to spend some time alone. The third one is this. Jesus spoke and said, well, you will fast. In Matthew 6, he says, when you fast, don't put on a sad face as the hypocrites do. They neglect their appearance so that everyone will see that they're fasting. I assure you, they've already been paid in full. When you go without food, wash your face, comb your hair so that others cannot know that you're fasting. Only your Father who's unseen will know. And your Father who sees what you do in private will reward you. Several of the parts of this. First, this comes in the Sermon on the Mount that we're going through in our Connect groups, and we'll be looking at this verse coming up. But he talks about several things. He says, when you're giving your money, don't do it in such a way so that everyone can look at you. When you're praying, don't do it in such a way that everyone will just be staring at you going, wow, look at that awesome guy. And when you fast, don't do it in such a way that everyone is, wow, this is a really spiritual person. It's not a way of trying to prove yourself to others. At the same time, don't get too concerned. What if someone else knows that I'm fasting? I'm married. I live in a house with my wife. If I'm not going to eat food, she's probably going to notice it. But I'm not doing it so that she'll go, what an amazing spiritual guy you are. It can actually be very good to have other friends who know while you're fasting and say, would you fast with me? Or at least, would you be praying with me? So don't have this, it has to be completely segregated from my life. But the idea is Jesus saying, this isn't so that you can prove something. You don't have to go out, stand on the market yelling, I have been fasting for 40 days. You get your reward plenty, because your reward is looking for a reward from humans and not what comes from God. Thinking of reward, the verses right after this say something that helps us in understanding it. Because Jesus says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Thieves can steal it. Decay can destroy it. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So when people read this, I hope that you don't see, God's going to reward me. If I just fast, then I'll become a millionaire. Or that it's all going to be something that I see physically, that it's some tangible outcome that I get out of this. Not always. Many times not. He's saying, you will get a reward from your Father in heaven, but what does that look like? And so the word I would give with this is hidden. There are sometimes that God is doing things in your life that you don't even see. That God is working underneath the surface to bring about something that you don't recognize right away. And in my life, when I have fasted, that's often been the case. I haven't had some moment where I fasted and then I get done and I go, I had this great vision and I know everything new for my life. Yes, God sometimes speaks in dreams and visions and I've had something like that, but there are other times when I fast and I don't feel anything. I don't come away with some big emotional whatever. That's okay. Because sometimes God is doing something hidden. And he says, when you are doing it in hidden, you're not doing it for the show, your Father will reward you, and that can be in ways that are hidden, but it's still growing. A few weeks ago, if you were here, and I had said I'd gone out for a walk in the morning, and I had seen this field, and I used to walk by it, and there was always a fence, but the fence was gone. And I was like, why have they moved this fence? Because there's still the field there. There's no reason for changing, and I wondered about it. And today, as I was walking by it, I saw the reason. Before, it had been this nice grass field, and the cows could walk around, they could chew on it. But today, it was completely plowed under, and all that grass was strewn about, and it was just a big dirt field. And I felt like God told me, you know what, there are times when people are looking for the grass that's greener on the other side. And in your life, sometimes you look at your life as a field, and you go, wow, everything was nice and green, and then now it feels like everything has been turned up and everything's gone topsy-turvy, and it doesn't look nearly as nice as it used to, and my life just looks like a mess. But do you know why they plow a field? So they can plant something. And I couldn't see what was planted in there yet. It was put in the ground. It was hidden. But it's going to start growing. And it will become fruitful. It will become a place that's life-giving. And maybe in your life you felt like, wow, I used to have this nice grassy field and now it just feels like everything is turned upside down. Understand that perhaps God is doing something hidden, that he is putting things in your life right now that's going to grow. That you may not see right away, you may not feel it. We do that with a lot of things that we call spiritual disciplines. Things like reading the Bible, prayer can be disciplines, fasting is one of those, spending time in silence or in solitude. And we'll look at several more disciplines throughout the year because Jesus practiced these, but they're putting yourself into training for the purpose of having something come out. Someone had said that they were told discipline is doing what you don't want to do to obtain the results that you do want to obtain. Sort of like dieting, going on weight loss. It's not because you don't want to have food, but it's because you want your body to be prepared for something. Women, when you're getting married, how many of you did something special before your wedding to get yourself ready so that you would look good? There are things that you do as a way of preparing yourself, that you act in specific ways. You discipline yourself. I grew up, and my parents made me take piano lessons. Also, I've learned to play guitar. But one thing that you don't notice from someone who's playing is how long they've spent practicing scales. You just practice the same things over and over and over. Why? Is it because it sounds beautiful? It's okay, but no one became famous from playing scales as far as I know. But you are disciplining yourself so that when you're playing other music, your fingers are used to it. Your body is used to being able to play on the keyboard. And the same is true with things like fasting. That in your spiritual life, if you'll make some of these things a practice, it's like doing scales on a piano or on a guitar or other things where you get yourself prepared for something else. Learning how to do math problems, learning how to count. I liked math as a kid, but you don't do a lot of math stuff just for the sake of math itself, but it helps you, it disciplines you to be able to answer other problems, to be able to do your taxes. How many of you got your taxes done before April 1st? So as you look throughout your life, the Jesus life step is this. It's not that I'm going to ask you to fast for 40 days. I'll start with something much smaller than that. The Jesus life step, I would ask, is to fast food for a 24-hour period. To say, I want to give this a try. As I said, there are various types of fasts, so if you say, I can't go for a whole 24-hour period without food, I have to do something, that can be okay. I'll give you another little trick that you can do for 24 hours that doesn't have to start and end at midnight. So you can have dinner at 5:30. You start your fast at 6 o'clock. Go the next day until 6 o'clock. That's been 24 hours. And then you just have a late dinner the next day at 6:30. And then you fasted for 24 hours. The idea is not that I'm really concerned that if you eat at 23 hours and 58 minutes that you've been a bad person. It's just finding ways to kind of exercise ourselves, to discipline ourselves, to do these sorts of things. If you say, I really can't do food, my wife is pregnant, you don't really expect a pregnant woman to fast food at the moment. That's not a healthy thing. So I do say, yes, anytime where people talk about fasting, they recommend consult a doctor if you have some kind of health concern with it. But I think most of us would actually be able to do this. The reason why we don't fast is not because we're incapable, but because we just don't feel like it and we get in a bad mood when we don't have food. Well, maybe that's part of the temptation that the devil will bring to you. And as you stand up to that and respond with the word of God, it'll go well. Your power verse for this week, we already looked at a bit. Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered, the scripture says, human beings cannot live on bread alone, but need every word that God speaks. Hopefully, even if you, like me, are a Westerner who has got so used to having a comfortable life, having food when I want it and when I need it. And if it's not in my house, I can go to the grocery store and they're being open later and later and open on Sundays so that I can go whenever I want to get it. It's so easy for me. Hopefully, even in that, you can start to realize my life is not built upon my comfort. It's not built upon these physical things alone. But I need every word that God speaks. That's why I've been asking you guys, be reading these life stories of Jesus, the biographies that we have in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because as you train yourself and you get used to it, as you read, there are some days I read the Bible and I don't have a shocking revelation from God. Believe it or not, that happened before I was a pastor. It happens after I'm a pastor. I don't read the Bible every day and go, light bulb, this is awesome. But it's a practice for me. And as I do it, I realize that God shows me more things and I'm available to hear it. That there are times where I go, oh, that reminds me of something I read a month ago. And then you connect it. And I'm not a special person for that. God says anyone can read his word. It's an amazing thing. The Bible is translated in so many languages into your own language, I would bet, that you can read it and you can bring it into your heart. And God will do something hidden with it, but eventually that will have fruit that will be noticeable and will be visible. We live on every word that God speaks.